Hey, man, what are you doing?
I'm just lying here relaxing in a stream. I call it streaming.
Okay, you know that word already has another meaning, right?
AFA Streaming offers free and subscription video content. Titles like By Design, The God Who Speaks, and Asbury Revival, Desperate for More. You'll also find video versions of AFR programs. Visit AFA.net and click on Streaming. Welcome to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve, Senior Pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
Well, good morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff here. I've been out sick since Wednesday. I got sick on Tuesday night, and man, it's the second time I've had some kind of bad sickness. I don't know if it was, first time it was a flu, second time my doctor said, I think you got COVID. I tried to tell my doctor, I think I have Ebola. I felt so bad, but I'm back in the saddle today and hope you had a great weekend. And I did have a little bit of a turnaround yesterday, and praise the Lord for all that he did at First Baptist Texarkana in my absence. Well, the big news Sunday was the announcement by Joe Biden that he was dropping out of the presidential race. Now, we saw in late June his debate with Donald Trump. The whole world saw, the nation saw that Joe Biden was not able to compete in a debate. He's not able to maintain his thoughts and speak in coherent sentences and know what's going on. It's all the things that we've seen over the last months and even years, that he is mentally deficient. You know, no fault of his. The tooth of time has gnawed away his memory and his ability to speak and his ability to govern. And he has no business, any honest, fair-minded person would say he has no business running the country. I would not have confidence in him running a lemonade stand at the corner. He's just not able to do it. But now this is what he said right after, about a week after, on July 5th, the debate and the debate disaster. This is what he told his supporters.
Now, you probably heard we had a little debate last week. Can't say it was my best performance.
We love it, Joe. It's okay.
But ever since then, there's been a lot of speculation. What's Joe going to do? Is he going to stay in the race? Is he going to drop out? What's he going to do? Well, here's my answer. I am running and going to win again.
Well, that was his response on July 5th, but July 21st, he is bowing out. And not a shock, shouldn't be a shock to anyone, but if you believe a politician and you believe what he says, they were saying just a few days before his announcement on the 21st that Joe was in the race. Yeah, he had supposedly had COVID, but he was in the race. He was in it to win it. He's going to beat Donald Trump and all the rhetoric that goes along with that. So whereas some may have been surprised at the information that came out on Sunday, most of us were not surprised at all. And a politician promising one thing and not delivering, and not a big surprise. Well, to help us unpack what has been transpiring in the world of politics, I've invited my friend Denny Burke to come on the program. Denny Burke is a professor at Boyce College in Louisville, Kentucky. He also serves as the president of the Council on Biblical Manhood and Womanhood. And as a teaching pastor at Kenwood Baptist Church, he has written or co-authored a number of books, including Male and Female. He created them, A Study on Gender, Sexuality, and Marriage, which was published last year. He's a contributor to the opinion section of The World Magazine, where he provides commentary on news and events from a biblical perspective. I follow Denny Burke on X and have been over the years blessed by the things that he posts on there and the things that he brings up. And so, Denny, welcome to the program.
Thank you so much, Jeff. Appreciate you having me on.
Well, thank you, my friend. And so we say surprised, not surprised. What did the news on Sunday do to you?
Well, I think that it was the right decision, for sure. I don't know if I could say I was surprised, but I will say this. The signals that we had been getting from reporting on whether or not he would stay in the race had been back and forth, you know, over the last 3 weeks. You know, we would hear in one report that he was thinking about getting out, and then you would hear the president himself come out and say, no, I'm in, I'm running. As early, or really as late as Sunday morning, I think it was the head of his campaign on one of the Sunday morning talk shows out there saying, no, we are in this thing to win it. And then by yesterday afternoon, that was the morning, then by yesterday afternoon, there was the announcement that he was out. So everybody had speculations as to whether or not this was going to happen. And I had actually given up on prognostications because it didn't seem like anybody really knew what they were talking about until President Biden actually came out and said what he was going to do, which he finally did yesterday afternoon.
Well, the scripture says, Denny, John 7:24, do not judge according to appearance, but judge with righteous judgment. That's from the lips of Jesus. You know, we if we're going to be people that really look at the whole situation, we know that Joe Biden was under tremendous pressure from within his party to drop out of the race. Doesn't appear that he wanted to drop out, or at least Jill didn't want him to drop out. I don't think Joe can make strong decisions for his life at this point, but that's just speculation on my part. What do you think it was like for him and all the voices telling him you have to drop out? Because it seems like he was fighting that.
Well, I mean, if you trust the reporting, you know, it's hard to know how to trust media reports at this point, because I know there was one report last week that was clearly just a leak from, you know, people who were trying to get him to step down. And I don't know that it was all that accurate, you know, saying that he was going to do this. Mm-hmm. So it's really hard to know what he was thinking, you know. From what I'm reading, what happened was he wanted to stay in, thought he could stay in, but was finally, in the end, convinced that he had no path forward politically in order to stay in. And so he pulled out and stepped to the side. So to me, that seems probably the most plausible scenario. But, you know, here again, we're sitting on the outside looking in just as voters, you know, trying to figure out what's driving this thing. And, you know, for me, I think what a lot of people are missing is it's not so much that whether or not he stays in the race that's super important to me. It's whether or not he should stay in as president
right.
at this point. And,
right.
And that's what I'm most concerned about.
Yeah, and you had written an article about that in World Magazine, a great article, Denny. That begs the question, okay, if you're not fit mentally and physically to run for president, then how are you fit to perform as the president? And that would be the question.
Well, the obvious answer to that is you're not. And I'm not sure exactly what the president is going to say later this week. He said that he would make a statement and address the nation at some point later this week. But you'll notice in the letter that he released yesterday, there was no acknowledgement in that letter at all about any kind of mental acuity problems or that he had any kind of health issues that were related to this. So I'm wondering if there's ever going to be an acknowledgement from the candidate or from his administration that he's having health issues, because all of us watching on television, we can see it with our own eyes. You can tell that he's not what he used to be, and he's often saying things and not making sense. Or, you know, I don't know if you saw last week, but he introduced the president of Ukraine
yes.
as Vladimir Putin, who is his arch enemy. I mean, that's the president of Russia who's been leading a war on Ukraine. It was so embarrassing. But I'm less concerned about embarrassing things than I am about dangerous things. And it was, what, 2 or 3 weeks ago that Axios reported that there's two Joe Bidens. One Joe Biden is appearing like an energetic president running for re-election, but there's a second Joe Biden that is confused, who struggles to string thoughts together. And basically from 10 to 4 p.m., according to his aides, that's when he's best. But outside of 10 a.m. to 4 p.m., he's not super engaged. He's not super tuned in mentally to what's going on. And there are some people who have noticed that he shows symptoms of sundowning, which is a thing that happens after 4 p.m. for people who are having certain mental incapacity. And so, you know, that's what I'm really concerned about are those reports. And here we are, you know, you and I are talking about this on the phone, and a good bit of this, you know, we're not his doctor. Right. We don't know what's going on. But we shouldn't have to be sitting here speculating. There should be assurances coming from the administration. No, we've had mental exams. We've been through this battery of tests. Here's a physician that will certify. But they haven't done that. No. And so here we are. We're just trying to. We're just having to look at what we're seeing on television, and you know, piece together what's going on with them. And we all have had experiences with folks who have, you know, show the effects of age and how that affects their mind. And we know that this only goes in one direction. So it looks, you know, from the outside, like he's not fit to be holding the office that he's in right now, much less to be running for another 4 years.
Right. Well, it's the emperor has no clothes. We can all see that. And yet we hear from his party that, no, he's fit, he's fine, he's sharp. Joe Scarborough said just a few months ago that this version of Joe Biden is the very best version of Joe Biden. He's so wise and seasoned and blah, blah, blah. I mean, it's just spewing lies. And I think most of America is sick of all the lies, but it seems like politics is just a cesspool of lies. I have a good friend of mine that was in politics, and he says, hey, I don't trust any of the guys. He said, you have to be a compromiser to be in politics. And he said, you might think this guy is solidly conservative, but I tell you, he's got to compromise to get to where he is. And so he kind of has a jaded look on everything. What would you say, Denny, to that? If you are advising the Democratic Party, how do you move forward? How do you save face when you've been lying about this guy for months and years?
Well, that's a great question. And, you know, I'm not coming on your air to say that I'm going to be an advisor to the Democratic Party. So I hope, though, that I would have the same counsel for either party. If you have a candidate who is mentally unfit for service, who physically can't do the job anymore, you need to face that fact and be honest with the American people about it. And you're not serving anybody. You're not serving the candidate. I mean, I don't have any ill will towards Joe Biden. I don't agree with his politics and the things that he stands for, but I don't have any ill will towards him. I want what's best for him, but it's not good for him or anyone else, especially for the country, to make like everything's okay when manifestly it's not okay. And so I would say that to either side, and I hope that we would have the intellectual integrity to say that if something like this ever happened to one of our favorite candidates, that we would be able to say the same thing, that there wouldn't be an effort to cover up or to, to dissemble and to, you know, not be forthcoming with the American people what the real situation is. Because, you know, here's the thing. When it comes to governing, when it comes to leading a country, you can't just do it between the hours of 10 a.m. to 4 p.m.
Right.
You have to be ready for the proverbial 3 a.m. call. And if you get that call in the middle of the night, it's the President of the United States, and there's some national security emergency, you can't say, well, you know, call me back in seven hours when I can think, you know, clearly about this. And I certainly don't want, you know, staff and aides around him governing in his place and we don't, in a way that we can't see. We need to have the confidence that the president is actually leading. And so I would say that to either party, you can't lie or you know, be untruthful about the state of your candidate. You have to be truthful about that with the American people, because we're relying on that. Right. And there's a lot at stake here. And this is not, and this is where, you know, I get frustrated, because I think a lot of people treat politics like it's a game.
Hey, Denny, let me break in on you. We're up against a break. You're listening to Real Truth for Today. We're talking to author and professor and pastor Denny Burke. We're talking about Joe Biden's big news. Don't go away.
This is Real Truth for Today. Podcasts of the program are available on the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here, sick but recovering and doing better. I'm really good between the hours of 10 and 4, and another guy is. But we're talking to Dr. Denny Burke, author, speaker, pastor, professor, and contributor to World Magazine. And Denny comments on the news and events of the day and does a great job with biblical, solid conservative commentary. And so we're talking about the big news, Joe Biden dropping out of the race, a surprise to some, but not a surprise to those of us who have honestly looked at the guy and just said, there's no way he can run for president. There's no way that he can serve as president. He's not able to do that. And Denny, I played a little bit of this clip in the first segment. I want to play the rest of it, because Joe, in this clip, this was from July 5th, he says something important, that he had earned the delegates and that people were trying to push him out of the race. Let's listen to this in its entirety.
Now, you probably heard we had a little debate last week. Can't say it was my best performance.
We love it, Joe. Okay.
But ever since then, there's been a lot of speculation. What's Joe going to do? Is he going to stay in the race? Is he going to drop out? What's he going to do? Well, here's my answer. I am running and going to win again. Because I'm the city president of the United States of America, no small part because of you. Not a joke. In 2020, you came through for me. I'm the nominee of the Democratic Party. I'm the nominee of this party because millions of Democrats like you just voted for me in primaries all across America. You voted for me to be your nominee. No one else. You, the vote, the voters did that. And despite that some folks don't seem to care who you voted for, well, guess what? They're trying to push me out of the race. No! Well, let me say this as clear as I can. I'm staying in the race.
Yeah! All right, Denny. So he made the comment that they voted him. Millions of people in primaries voted for him. And now there were some trying to push him out. We hear from the left, a threat to democracy, a threat to democracy, a threat to democracy. But isn't pushing Joe out of the race, isn't that a real threat to democracy?
Well, it certainly is not honoring the primary voters and what they chose to do on the Democratic side. I think, though, what you have is, you know, power brokers within the Democratic Party who are looking at the polling and seeing there's no path forward. And so they're trying to, and, you know, instead of trying to kick him off the ticket, trying to get him to agree to do it himself, which he has now, you know, done. The problem with all of this, though, is just the basic transparency issue.
Right.
The issues that, you know, led to him, you know, leaving the race yesterday, they weren't a secret. They weren't hidden, you know, behind something so that we couldn't see what was going on with him for months and months and months. And I'll be honest with you, I told my wife 4 years ago, I said, I don't see how he finishes his term, because I thought there was evidence of this 4 years ago, and it's only gotten worse since then. But what's happened is that you've had apparently people around him and his inner circle. You've had a media that haven't, you know, disclosed this. And the media has kind of come along and has helped to keep this concealed. And so, or at least as much as they can, okay, because it couldn't be totally concealed. So now, after their primary voters have voted, it became very clear in that debate that he is not what he was mentally. So it may very well be that some of those voters are having buyer's remorse, but they've already voted. And mm-hmm. so all of that is just polling against hard votes, and that's what makes this look so bad. But, you know, as I said, he stepped aside. He didn't have to, but he voluntarily did it. And so what they chose to do in the primaries is no longer going to be the case.
So what happens moving forward? He can't just pass the baton to Kamala and she becomes the candidate, right?
As I understand the Democratic rules, no, I don't think it's clear at all who the candidate will be. At this point, I'm not a political consultant, so I'm watching this like, you know, everyone else is. I have taken a look at it, and to me, it looks like she has probably the best shot at this. She has she's the only one who can inherit the campaign war chest that Biden has already raised. If she doesn't, you know, come up as the party's nominee, the $100 million or so dollars that they've raised can't be just transferred to some other candidate. It has to stay within their campaign. So she would have some advantages from that perspective. And I would say, you know, probably the odds on her is that she's going to be the candidate. But, you know, I tell you, Jeff, I've given up on political prognostications because I've been wrong so many times. But I still think, though, that she – so your listeners can take that with a grain of salt here, but I think she probably has the best shot at winning the Dem nomination at this point.
Well, a couple things that I was thinking. Somebody posted yesterday on X that you know, he would vote for a dog over Trump, and I said, yeah, that probably speaks for a lot of people in the Democratic Party. That's why you have the term a yellow dog Democrat, and which said, I think it's been around for about 100 years. They'd vote for a yellow dog if he was on the Democratic ticket. That's why I've said it doesn't matter that Biden is mentally deficient, because you could run a pet rock. They're voting for abortion and LGBTQIA plus, you know, rights and the right to mutilate children and all these moral things that every Christian should find repugnant, and say there's no way in the world that I could cast a vote for that. So in that sense, it doesn't matter about Biden's mental acuity. And at the same time, Kamala Harris is extremely unpopular. You know, Donald Trump said about her just a week or so ago, he said one of the best things that Biden ever did to ensure that he would be on the top of the ticket is picking her. Because people would say, oh, gosh, we don't want to have her. Well, I do believe, and Denny, you can comment on this, I believe that Obama has been in the shadows running the country. I think that he weighs in heavily. And I personally think that Michelle Obama has as good a shot as any to be the candidate come November.
I think it would be very – I think that if she were the candidate, I think a lot of people would vote for her. I think it's very difficult, though, to imagine somebody else coming in at this point to capture the nomination. It really is going to be it will be hard to dislodge the sitting vice president. And again, not impossible. And you know, I could be wrong about that. I think it would be very, very, very difficult. I think there's no question that the former president has great influence still within the party, and there's been a lot of reporting to that effect that he's been, you know, driving some of the efforts to move the president out of the presidential race. So that could be the case, but you know, for me, it all comes down to the fact that I just don't think that the president I don't know how to be confident that the president can do this job anymore. And there's 6 months left on his term. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot going on in the world right now. And what concerns me, just as a, you know, just a basic, you know, American concern, I think that everybody, right or left, should be concerned about the fact that foreign nations, bad actors, are looking for moments of transition. They're looking for moments that they perceive to be instability mm-hmm. to make a move or to try something. Now, I'm not talking about like a direct attack on the United States, something like that. I'm talking about like China invading Taiwan, which has a major geopolitical impact and would majorly affect the United States' position in Southeast Asia. Well, it's times like this when you're projecting weakness, that maybe the commander-in-chief is not altogether there, that foreign actors would consider something like this, which, you know, for me, that's the far more urgent issue here, is uh-huh. is the fact that that we're projecting that to the world. And so it's a basic, I mean, I'm trying to be as best, like, I have my own political views. I'm a a conservative person. All of that is important to me. But everybody from the left to the right has to be concerned that we have someone at the helm that can at least answer the 3 a.m. call, that right. will at least have some kind of mental acuity to deal with something, and so that we're not projecting that uncertainty to the world. That's what I'm concerned about. You know, I think about Romans 13, where it says in Romans 13:4 that governing authorities are a minister of God to you for good. But if you do what is evil, be afraid, for it does not bear the sword for nothing. For it is a minister of God, an avenger who brings wrath upon the one who practices evil. And so the Bible depicts our governing authorities as a minister of God. Not that they're all Christian. You know, when Paul wrote this in Romans 13, he wasn't talking about a Christian government. He's talking mm-hmm. about a pagan government. But even pagan governments, okay, with pagan rulers, they have a commission from God to bear the sword for righteousness. Mm-hmm. It's a tremendous responsibility that you're given this authority from God to have the coercive power of life and death, which is basically what you have. The mm-hmm. United States military is an enormous sword to hold in your hand, and you need someone with basic competence there to wield that. And you don't want to be projecting weakness in terms of somebody who's not competent to wield that. So, you know, I think all of the political issues that we care about, we need to debate and we need to talk about. And, you know, I have a role in that. You have a role in that. But here I'm talking about just basic competence to sit in the chair. Sure. And for some reason, people have not been talking about that. The big story has been whether or not he should run, when for all of us, it should be, well, should he even be continuing? And right. and I don't think that we can have any confidence that he should be.
Well, that's a good point, Denny. And I think my personal opinion, I think Obama's been running the country, and they tell Biden what to say, and he stumbles through it on a teleprompter. But I think Obama makes all the decisions, or Valerie Jarrett, or whoever, you know, he's got his little group. And I think there probably was a power struggle between Jill, you know, what wife carts her husband out there, you know, day after day, when she knows he's not able to do this. I had mentioned on the program last week that one of the things about Ronald Reagan, when he got dementia, Nancy shielded him from any kind of exposure because she loved him and she didn't want him to be seen that way. Jill doesn't seem to have the same kind of care and concern for Joe, which is very, very sad. But So I think as Christians, we have a role to play, and it doesn't have anything to do with politics. It has to do with our prayer life and praying for our country where we live. And so, Denny, what would be your word of encouragement to believers today as we see all these things unfolding and as there is instability, and instability can bring a lot of fear? And we say, oh, what is going to happen to our country, and what are we going to leave to our children and grandchildren? What would be your word of comfort to them?
Well, just everyone needs to realize that God is sovereign. He's in control of everything. He is still running this world, and he is the one who causes nations to rise and to fall according to his will. And so we can trust in the sovereignty of God, and we can trust in his providential care over us no matter what happens. So there's a fundamental sense of confidence that we ought to have in that. But there's another thing that I think Christians need to be thinking about. We need to pray. The Bible encourages us in 1 Timothy 2 to pray for all of those who are in authority, kings and other authorities. And it says to pray that we may live a peaceful and quiet life in godliness and all contentment. And then it says for us to pray for them that they might be saved. And so, you know, for all of us, I mean, I hope that you've been looking at the tumult of the last few weeks, and I hope it's occurred to brothers and sisters out there, we need to be praying for President Joe Biden. We need to be praying for candidate Trump, former President Trump. We need to be praying for these men that they would rule and lead in a way that is wise and is according to the charge that God has given to human rulers. So we need to pray, and then we also need to participate in the democratic process. You know, the Bible says, render to Caesar the things that belong to Caesar. Well, in the American system, we're Caesar, okay? The people, we have a direct stewardship in determining who our leaders are going to be. So use your voice, use your vote to for the betterment of the country and to promote what's good and beautiful and true.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Denny, for coming on today. How can our listeners connect with you?
I have a website, dennyburke.com. That's a good place to start.
All right. And then on Twitter, your handle is what?
Just Denny Burke, at Denny Burke, D-E-N-N-Y-B-U-R-K, no E at the end.
Yeah, very good. Well, Denny, it's been a pleasure. Thank you for coming on today. I appreciate your comments. I appreciate your the things that you share. You're very, very wise. And just God bless you in your ministry, my friend.
Thank you so much, Pastor. I appreciate it.
All right. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for today, and that was our discussion with Dr. Denny Burke, author, speaker, pastor, professor, and contributor to World Magazine. Well, we're up against a break. When we come back, we'll be taking your calls, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. I'd love to hear from you on the recent news, yesterday's news, that Joe Biden has dropped out of the presidential race. Give me a call. Let's talk.
You've heard a lot about saving babies on this show. That's because it's important to me personally. And let me just be frank with you. We need to save them. That's why we've partnered with Preborn, the nation's leader in introducing mothers with unplanned pregnancies to their babies. And once she hears that heartbeat and sees that precious life growing inside of her, she is twice as likely to choose life. Now that's a miracle. But quite honestly, if we don't save them, who will? Preborn receives no government funding, so their work is completely dependent on you and me. Preborn has rescued over 280,000 babies. And that's not all. They provide love, support, and counseling for up to 2 years for free, saving lives and souls. One ultrasound is just $28, or 140 helps rescue 5 babies' lives. Abortion doesn't stop. So we can't either. Together, you and I can save lives. Just call #250 on your cell and say the keyword baby. That's 250 baby. Or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
If you'd like to contact Pastor Jeff, email pastorjeff@fromhisheart.org. Now, back to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here on the mend, but my voice is still not the way I want it to be, and hopefully, by God's grace, I'll be getting better and better this week. Well, we've been talking about the big news, Joe Biden announcing via a letter that he was stepping out of the presidential race, stepping down from the race. And as he said in the clip that we played just a little bit ago, that although he was voted in through the primaries, there were elites that were pushing him out. And So that is that has been the case. He got too much pressure and they pushed him out and he was forced to resign. And as Denny Burke said, hey, if you can't run for president because you're physically unable, mentally unable, the bigger question is how do you serve as president? Because being president is not just some figurehead position. That's a big time position. And as Denny pointed out, we have some bad players out there, some people that hate America that would love to destroy America. And they are watching to see, they know the emperor has no clothes. And so this would be a great time for them to do harm. And so America is very vulnerable. And we as Christians need to pray. We know that deliverance doesn't come from the White House. It doesn't come from any political party or politician. Deliverance comes from God. And I saw a clip today from John MacArthur, and he was, I don't know if it was from yesterday or not, but he was just saying, hey, we are under judgment from God. And he said, I don't care who you vote into to a political office. We need to cry out to God like the Ninevites did for God to have mercy. Because deliverance is not going to come from some human whiz-bang. It's going to come from God Almighty as we cry out to Him in repentance, in confession of sin, in turning from our wicked ways, and putting our eyes on Him and seeking His face and His mercy. Well, we're going to open the phone lines, 888-589-8840, and I'd love to hear from you. And we have Steve on the line from Texas. Steve, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Hey, good morning, Pastor Steve.
Yeah, Pastor Jeff.
Oh, sorry.
That's all right. That's all right, Steve. Anybody that gets my name wrong, they always call me Steve. So you're one of many.
It came on from hearing my own name, sorry.
No problem.
There were two things I wanted to touch on. One of the big things we're going to be running into over the next however such period is our discernment is going to be tested. And two things that are involved in that, two specific cases I wanted to touch on, are that there are things called false dichotomies, where two options are presented in front of you, and you're told that you have to pick one or the other. And very often when those are presented, the true choice is somewhere in the middle or completely outside of that box that you've been presented.
Mm-hmm.
And another thing that comes into play on discernment is a thing called the Hegelian dialectic, which came out of the Kingdom of Prussia and a Prussian philosopher named Friedrich Hegel. And this is where you're presented with a problem and given a reaction that you're supposed to have that's often been seeded before you're ever presented with the problem, and then given a solution that was designed before the problem was ever presented to you. And we have to be able to find these kinds of things, because one thing that just happened, and this is where discernment is going to come in, we don't take necessarily anybody's words, for we have but one mediator, and that is the man Jesus Christ. And one thing that has to be discerned here is when, in this situation that we were just presented this weekend, Joseph Robinette Biden took the office on January 20th of 2021, and he just resigned on July 21st of 2024, and the gap between those two dates is exactly 42 months, which is a specific time gap named in Revelation that we should all be aware of and have in mind as we see the events that are unfolding today.
Yeah, okay. Well, I don't see the 3.5 years like that. But yeah, he hasn't resigned from being president, but he did drop out of the race effective yesterday. So I think you're right, Steve, as far as the false, either or. You have to choose these two, and I think we desperately need to be praying that God would give us discernment Do not judge according to appearance, Jesus said, but judge with righteous judgment. Lord, help me to have your eyes to see, wisdom to see. James 1:5, if any of you lacks wisdom, wisdom is the ability to see things from God's perspective. Ask of God, who gives to all men generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. I think that anything you hear from mainstream media is a lie. They are liars. Big government is liars. Big pharma are liars. I mean, it's just proven time and time and time again. The Democratic Party has been lying for a long, long time concerning Joe Biden and his health, and mainstream media has been covering it up. So now they're going to have to own that. And but they're going to pivot. They're going to shift gears. They're going to say, "Oh, we never said that." It's just like the COVID stuff. "Oh, we never said that if you if you got the COVID shot, that wouldn't, you know, keep you from getting COVID." Baloney. You did say that. And so you throw the truth back in their face. But I appreciate you calling in. I think you're exactly right. And we need to be praying that God would give us discernment. We need to be shrewd as serpents and innocent as doves as believers. And we need to be like the sons of Issachar, men who understood the times and what Israel should do. We need to understand the times. And we need to keep seeking the Lord on what we should do. So God bless you, Steve. Thank you for calling in. Tina on the line from Tennessee. Tina, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
First of all, Pastor, thank you so much for your ministry and for preaching truth and teaching truth. I just want to say thank you for that.
Thank you.
I want to know why the handlers of Joe Biden have not been brought up on charges of elder abuse. Because I think what they've done to this man is a crime. And we should be praying for him. And more than anything, we should be praying for the people that have done this to him. I do not agree with his politics, his stand on anything. But I also do not agree with anyone abusing an elder or a child. And that's what this Democratic Party has done.
Yeah, exactly. It is elder abuse. And, as my wife has said, she holds Jill Biden in, principally in contempt for that. Because how do you do that? You know, your husband is not able to do the job. You know, he's just not mentally fit. And Debbie's dad had dementia, and she sees some of the same things that she saw in her dad. And she said, it's just sad. You want to protect the dignity of that person and not throw him out there to the wolves, knowing that he's gonna be embarrassed because he can't do it. He can't handle the questions. His mind doesn't function correctly. And so it is elder abuse, and everybody's covering it up, so they act like no, he's perfect, he's fine. This is the, as Joe Scarborough said, this is the best version of Joe Biden ever. Oh, baloney. To say something like that is just ridiculous. You're just lying through your teeth. And they've all been doing that. Everybody knows that the emperor has no clothes. And the debate just revealed that beyond any shadow of any doubt. This guy is not able to carry on a conversation. He can't speak in complete sentences. He's incoherent. It's just sad. And he doesn't need to be running for president. He doesn't need to be running the country. He needs to be retired and in a place somewhere where they can give him lots of help. So I appreciate you calling in, Tina. We have Ron on the line from Tennessee. Ron, welcome to Real Truth for Today. Ron, are you there? All right. It sounds like we lost Ron. Ron, if we're going to go to another caller. Ron, if you can call back, that would be great. Ted on the line from Arkansas. Ted, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Yeah. Hi, Pastor Jeff. I enjoy listening to your messages on YouTube every week.
Thank you, sir.
And I appreciate the comment there about what John MacArthur said. I think it's right on there. So, a question. Now, his resignation or withdrawal from the race didn't say anything about his health. Just basically, what's the difference in another candidate just saying, "Well, I don't have a path to win, so I'm just going to step down." What's the difference there? You know,
right. Yeah, it was a crafted letter to make sure that it didn't say anything about "I'm not fit for this." And you know, as I mentioned earlier, if you're going to run on the Democratic side, from my perspective, and in my opinion, this is just my opinion, it doesn't matter, you know, how fit you are. As one guy said, you know, I'd vote for a dog versus Trump, and they'd vote for a pet rock versus a Republican. And so doesn't matter who you have there. You could have a Charlie McCarthy ventriloquist dummy, and they'd say, okay, I'll vote for him because I'm voting against this other platform, and I'm voting for all these perverted liberal things that are bringing the wrath of God upon us. You know, as John MacArthur said, and I believe this with all my heart, the Democratic platform is straight out of Romans chapter 1. It's just the sins of Romans chapter 1. And you are going to invoke the wrath of God when you do that. And God is opposed to the proud. He gives grace to the humble. God is opposed to sin. He has eyes that are too pure to look upon sin. And so you go up against God when you say, this is the direction we're going to go. It's just like Sodom and Gomorrah and Admah and Zeboim, the cities of the plain. They're going to live like they're going to live. And what's God going to do about it? Well, God weighed in, and he rained down fire and brimstone from heaven upon them, and they were consumed. And so, you know, the Bible says that in 2 Peter chapter 2, that this was done as an example to those who would live ungodly thereafter. And so if you want to know what God thinks about those sins, just go, as Adrian Rogers said in a sermon years ago that I heard, go to the smoking ruins of Sodom and see for yourself. And so we are, we've gotten so far away from God. We've rejected his word, his will, his ways. And we said, God, we're going to do it the way we want to do it. And the Lord says, okay, we'll see how that works out for you. To quote Dr. Phil, how's that working for you? You go away from God. I tell our church this all the time. I tell myself this all the time. Anytime you wander away from the Father's house, like the prodigal son did, you might find some thrills and chills along the way, but it always ends up the same place, and that's the pigsty. And you're going to be in want. Because you never get ahead in life. You don't prosper in life by going against God's word. It's by walking with God, in the light with God. That's where you find the blessings of life. So I appreciate that, Ted. Thanks for calling in today. Well, we have Ron back from Texas, or from Tennessee, I'm sorry. Ron, welcome to Real Truth for today.
Good morning. You know, we really live in two different worlds. One is the world that we expect to run by the rules and run correctly, and everybody obeys, and the way things are set up, that's the way they're supposed to be. But then there's the way that the world actually operates, and I really feel like it's so unconstitutional and so disrespectful to have a third term of the Obama administration continue on its clear path without impediment, without any legislation or anything stopping them. Nobody's interested, and then it's going to go on into a fourth term. I mean, I don't understand. We have the National Security Agency monitoring all of our conversations, emails, and everything, but they can't sniff this out. And if a Republican administration takes effect, they're not going to look into it. I mean, what's going on? Why are we paying all this money for the national intelligence to run an operation and look for the bad guys that are foreign but not domestic? I mean, Joe Biden and his yellow dog Democrats, they operate in unison. It's like one big monster, one big yellow nasty monster that's destroying the country from the inside out. Why must we suffer this?
Mm-hmm.
It's just not...
Yeah. I agree with you, Ron. I just think everything is corrupt. You know, you talk about the deep state and drain the swamp. The swamp is so deep. That's been the problem. And so the Lord is in control. And you know, what John MacArthur said, I think is true. The wrath of God, Romans 1:18, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all unrighteousness, all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth and unrighteousness, because that which is known about God is evident within them, for God made it evident to them. through the creation of the world. His invisible attributes, his eternal power has been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse. But men reject God, and when you reject God, you experience the consequences of that decision, and we are experiencing that. And the only way home is for us to pray, to cry out to God, to get our lives right with Him, and to ask God to bring revival. Well, thanks for listening to Real Truth for today. I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve. Go out, shine for Christ, and share what great things God has done for you. And God will use you as His witness.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.